down through the end of the chapter. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. Lord, I ask your blessing now in the service. I pray that you would work. Lord, please help me to be yielded to you, that you would control what I say and how I say it. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would have that free course with your word to change us, to draw us closer to you, to ground us in truth, to be a help to us. Lord, so I beg you this time that it would not be in vain, yet you would help each person to be able to listen, to concentrate, Lord, that this would be fruitful in our life and help us as we follow you. Lord, so please bless. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. We have been looking at, of course, these series of instructions that come in chapter 12 as a result of the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans, which deals with redemption, justification, all that comes with our salvation, and now how it gets into now this portion of the book of Romans of how this is to be practical, how it is to really change our life, what we are to do with these doctrines. And in the last several weeks, we've been looking at several of these, how dealing with our responsibilities to each other in our relationships, how we are to be kind, how we are to be preferring one another, helping, meeting needs that we recognize and that we see, to rejoice with them that rejoice, to weep with those that reap, that weep, that are hurting, to walk humbly. Humility is stressed throughout this chapter, the importance of a humble walk before the Lord and before each other. Now as we come to the close of chapter 12, it's still dealing with our relationships, but in particular, that is now dealing with our responsibilities and really direction in how we deal with those who are our enemies or those who are against us or those who would seek us harms or that we are at odds with. How we deal with those who have done us wrong. This is really important to pay attention to follow, and we need this instruction because as you're going to see, the instruction given to us in the Word of God when it comes to dealing with those who have done us wrong goes very much contrary to our flesh. I'm going to be honest, it goes very much contrary to a lot of sermons I've heard in how to handle these situations. But we are to follow the Bible. It gives us the instruction that we need. The Lord certainly does know best. Make no mistake about it. When somebody does you wrong or you have an enemy that approaches, how you handle that situation is incredibly important because there can be major, major consequences if it's not handled right. It can take a situation that really could have been, find a peaceable way through it with a manner of ease and turn it into an all-out war. We have an examples of this in the Word of God that we can that we could look at. We could look at Samson. I think I'm going to bring up Absalom. I think he's a really good example of it. You see, because when we're wrong, our immediate reaction is almost always to take it into our own hands. We're going to make this right or we're going to get vengeance. So how did that work for Absalom? Just think about that. He is without a doubt a tragic example of what happens when you decide to take vengeance into your own hands. If you remember, he was rightfully angry, as was David, his dad, with Amnon, who had raped their sister. Furious. Absalom decided he was going to solve this himself. Remember, he waited actually 2 full years, planned this thing out. The day finally came, and he had Absalom murdered. If you remember, the report got to David greatly exaggerated that every single one of his sons was murdered by Absalom. That was an exaggeration. And then, of course, his son showed up and let him know that was not the case. But just think how everything began to unravel at Absalom's decision of taking vengeance into his own hands. Even though his anger was justified, it was a righteous anger. It was something to be angry about. But the vengeance wasn't right. His vengeance would greatly complicate things. It would lead to his own exile, or lead to his broken relationship with his dad. It would lead to civil war. It would even lead to his own death. See, we have to understand, none of us has perfect justice. Not one of us. Only God does. If we trust God with our souls, with our eternity, then trust Him with our life now, and that includes when someone has done us wrong. So let's look at this portion of Scripture, our responsibility when dealing with enemies or those who have hurt us or those who have done us wrong. I'm going to put it in I'll give them to you very quickly here by way of introduction, four different P's that we see put through verse 17 through 21. We're going to seek to prepare, peaceable, place, and proper. So first off, to prepare. Be prepared. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Let me lay a bit of a foundation with where this is going so I can get into the point that this verse is making of be prepared. And this one is important. This is the foundation to all the others. All the others, I believe, are leading to the steps of helping you be properly prepared when handling those difficult situations. This is setting the tone for what is to follow. How we are not to return evil for evil. Of course, some might say, well, what about the law that is given an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? That's all I'm doing. If that's what the Bible tells me, so I can do that, Pastor. No, you can't. Now, that law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's very important. Matter of fact, it's the oldest law in existence. And it's needed. But make no mistake, it is misunderstood and misapplied by multitudes. It's even used by those who like to claim that I even listened to a podcast this week where an atheist was making that claim, how the God of the Old Testament is nothing like we see in the New Testament. And this was one of the examples he brought up, where it says an eye for an eye in the Old Testament, yet it says turn the other cheek in the New Testament. Listen to me, as we're going to see, one is dealing with our personal responsibility. The other is dealing with a government from a civil responsibility. From a government and a civil responsibility, it is eye for an eye. But on a personal level, that's not the case. And really, the law, an eye for an eye, is out of mercy. It's not even looked at in the right text in which it was given, or I should say the purpose with which it was given. And it's a law that every single society needs. Matter of fact, when we begin to look at corrupt governments and what they end up doing in regards to prosecutions, you will see this law is quickly thrown out. This is a law that every single culture, every single society should want in their law books because it protects. It protects the weak from the strong. It helps prevent evil taking over a culture. It's mentioned three different times in the Bible, in the book of Exodus in chapter 21, Leviticus chapter 24, Deuteronomy chapter 19. This law was given to ensure that it was mandated by law that punishment had to fit the crime. It's dealing with at a civil level, at a government level, not at a personal level. It was never given for the allowance of personal vengeance. It was given to guide governments in how they prosecuted, to ensure that the government did not inflict a punishment that exceeded that of the crime. These were matters that even scripturally were handled by judges, the courts, not personally. You see, the court is not to have pity. We are to have pity. But we do not want our justice system to. There needs to be consequences for crimes, or the culture will fall into anarchy. The law, of course, was of mercy as well. For instance, we all know, just think about it from a reasonable and human perspective. When we are wrong, when somebody does us wrong, almost every single time, when we apply a measure of retribution for that wrong, it exceeds the wrong that was done to us. We never keep it equal. You hurt me, I will hurt you more. This is true throughout. You can see this throughout our culture, throughout any culture for that matter. I mean, you can see people get into a simple argument at work or somewhere out, and somebody goes and gets a gun and comes back and shoots somebody over an argument. You know, a road rage incident takes place and somebody walks out with a gun to shoot somebody over road rage. Again, when we apply retribution, it's almost always in our nature. You hurt me, I'm hurting you worse. This is to protect from that at a government level. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. See, the problem in going back to the first century, especially in Judaism of the day, the Pharisees were actually using that law by the first century to allow for a measure of personal vengeance, which is why Christ addressed it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. But as we see here, on a personal level, we are not to render evil for evil. Now go back to the verse. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Now look where the instruction goes. This is important. This is the foundation here. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. This is the foundation for how we're going to accomplish the instruction that is given in the first part of 17 and the rest of the chapter. We are to provide things honest, or to prepare. The word provide here is very interesting and very insightful. Here's the definition of the word that is used here. It means to take thought in advance, to plan to do it, to premeditate your goodness, so that you are not caught unaware. So the word is saying what it's going here is that there needs to be a matter of preparation, of planning that needs to take place ahead of time in order for you to be in a position where you do not render evil for evil. Our responsibility is to be prepared with a plan ahead of time in how we are going to respond to those who do us wrong. Because when we are done wrong, our immediate reaction every time will be to respond evil with evil. That's what we're going to want to do. It's in your flesh. It's how you're designed. You have a sin nature. And so what it's saying is, you had better be prepared. You had better plan ahead of time and know what you're going to do when you're faced with that situation. You cannot allow the moment to take control of you. You cannot allow your emotions to dictate how you're going to respond. There's a preparation process that needs to be in place. Do not allow the emotion of a situation to dictate your actions or to control you. So in order for this to be the case, make no mistake, self-discipline needs to be in place in our life. Listen, by the way, don't ignore this. This is following the Bible. This is what it means living the Bible out right now. This is it. This is how we're to respond. We're not to render evil for evil. We are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. So we're to be prepared. We're to premeditate. We're to have a plan in place at how we're going to respond when we are done wrong. You have to have a game plan ready. One, where you have determined, you have planned that I will not respond evil with evil. Unless it's your wife, then it's perfectly allowed. And the wording is to provide things honest in the sight of all men. So it is something in action that others are going to recognize many times when something is done wrong to you. And so the response needs to be recognized by others who are witnessing it. By others who are witnessing it. This isn't a private emotion or a private thought. This is before others. This is so others actually see how you're responding when responding to an enemy or something that's been done wrong to you. It's outward, it's visible for others to see. It's doing good to them that others may recognize. Listen, by the way, this is going to protect your testimony. It's going to show what a true Christian life is like. You know, I've been studying a couple of men, as you know, I brought up over the few months here, different men like Polycarp and Ignatius, and you know, their life just fascinates me. One, they knew John. And when the Roman soldiers showed up to arrest Polycarp, and he knew they're going to execute him. He's going to be burned. He's going to be killed. He gave them dinner. No kid, he provided them a meal. So much so that it's recorded that Roman soldiers were like, what are we doing? He gave the guys a meal. At his own house. When the offense is known, others will be watching you, and you are an ambassador for Christ. There's something more important than you being right. Others will be expecting you to get even. They will not be expecting you to reward evil with kindness. Please remember this when you are at work or before lost people. The world is watching. This action here of providing things honest in the sight of all men, in the face of wrongdoing unto you, is powerful in its witness. It gives credence to your words as a Christian. Please keep in mind what the majority of people see, of lost people see of Christians. It is so frustrating. It is the nonsense that's on the television. It's these nonsense charismatic leaders that are in no way saved, that have jets flying across the nation, fleecing money from people and claiming healings and all this that's taking place. That's all they see of Christians. That's it. Again, I think of the testimony of that doctor who got saved in New Guinea that showed up there as an atheist with his wife. And he told me, of course, he had already come to know Christ shortly before he came to our island. He was on the main island in the Highlands when he came to know Christ as his Savior. And then shortly after that's when he came over to work at our aid station there on the island of New Ireland. And he gave me his testimony the day we met. You know, I was up at the aid station making visits. I'd heard that we actually had a doctor for the first time. And of course, our paths crossed. And we started the conversation up immediately. And immediately, he told me he had become a Christian. And by his own mouth, he's the one who told me. He showed up in the country as an atheist. And he said, the only thing I knew of Christianity is what I saw on television. And I thought they were a bunch of nuts. That's how the devil uses that. And he says, but then when I'm in the Highlands, he was working at a clinic up there, There was a missionary family there living there in the bush. And he got to see what a real Christian was all about. The difference in that life that was being lived, a life of what can I get from God? A life of let me pretend God is my personal genie so that I can be blessed and have my best life now. But a life of sacrifice for others. A life of a guy willing to give up where he was living to live in a very difficult, hard location simply for the sake of the gospel. And like he told me, he said he knew whatever that man believed, he really believed. That would lead to his conversion. Listen, in other words, when you're out there, and do you understand the opportunity facing you when all of a sudden you are faced with somebody who does you wrong, in the ability to respond in a godly Christian manner of how that can be used? This is showing that Christ makes a real difference in your life. And it will be something that you will quickly find others will admire. Now let's look at the next step of preparation. Let's look at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So now we come to the next P, peaceable. To live peaceably with all men. Now this is as much as it's possible. All right. So the wording there implies that it's not going to be possible every time. Right? And that's true. There are those who simply won't allow it. But we are responsible for our actions, not their actions. Our actions are to go the way of peace, even though we cannot control how they respond to it. Peace will not always come because it certainly does depend on the other's actions and attitudes and responses. But remember, you are simply responsible for your attitudes and actions, and we are to go the way of peace. Again, many will want retribution and payback, but we are to go the way of peace. Remember, the wisdom that is from above is first peaceable. Wisdom that is from above. Listen, this stuff is also practical. This will help your marriage. This will help different relationships you have. Don't look for the argument. Look for the way of peace. Look for the road that will lead to peace, not make you feel like you're right. So this is part of that preparation process, that providing. He gives the instruction, all right? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Thirdly, place. Look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, this is of course, is a good verse and one that we need. Place. We have to give place unto wrath for who it belongs to, and that belongs unto the Lord. You have to give place unto it. This is one of the things that helps us through it. This is knowledge that helps us through the difficult situation because nobody gets away with anything before God. Nobody. God says, listen, you have to trust me with this. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He's telling us, just trust him. Let him handle that part of it. We respond right, let God bless because of it, and he'll handle the vengeance side of the house. We are to walk by faith and leave it in the hands of the Lord. We trust our life with him. And listen, by the way, God's vengeance is always best. Because when God responds, make no mistake, it's always going to be true justice. That's not true for us. Our justice can never be perfect because we are flawed. We are biased. We see things how we want to see them. We ignore truths that we don't want to believe. We'll even believe lies if that's what we want to hear. Our justice will always be flawed because of our sinful nature. Therefore, our vengeance will also be flawed. But God's justice is perfect. It is His justice that we want to work. It is His vengeance that we want. We will always see things in a way that benefits us and not necessarily the truth as it really is. I remember I had a relative going back about 20 years now, maybe even longer than I'm getting. Man, time goes fast. You know that? It's probably longer than 20 years right now. It would be longer than 20 years. Man, I'm just going to stay 20 because I don't want to think longer decades than that. But I had a relative, we were about the same age, and he got arrested for drunk driving. And I remember when I first heard about it and talking with the family about it, it was everybody else's fault but his. It was the police. The police didn't do right. The court system didn't do right. You know whose fault it was? It was my relative's. That's whose fault it was. By the way, you'll cripple that person. You keep on feeding that to them. You keep on excusing that. You're just going to cripple them. That's all you're going to do. You and I will always have trouble seeing things as they really are, straight and with truth, because we are biased and we're sinful. God's justice is perfect and without partiality. God also is all-knowing and knows all the details. He knows every single mitigating factor. He knows everything that is true about any given situation, why somebody did what they did, everything about it. He sees it perfectly. You don't. He knows the heart of man. We do not. Too often we guess. We leave it up to our own heart, and many times we will be wrong. True story of a guy in Texas. You can look this up. It was about 15, 20 years ago. His brother was murdered. All right? They were in Texas. Can't remember the details. They were younger, but his brother was murdered. Family was devastated over the murder. And online, it took off people basically guessing at this guy. They said that he was the one who committed the murder. Well, at the funeral for his brother that was killed, that guy there that the internet was saying killed his brother, that brother went ahead and killed that guy right at the funeral. Shot him dead. Turns out he didn't do it. Had nothing to do with the murder. The police caught the guy who actually did do it. You don't know all the details. You might think you're right, and you might be completely wrong. This is why God says, listen, give place unto wrath. To the one who knows every detail about the situation. God knows the truth perfectly. His way is always right. And God's vengeance is always right in penalty. God knows what punishment is right, and He can execute it. Again, we've already talked about the illustration of the law that God gave of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. God's vengeance will always, always be right. When we take revenge as sinful creatures, the act of revenge is almost always, always much worse than the offense that was originally made. Now to finish this up with number four here, let's look at verse 20 and 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me finish here with the very last P of the instruction given to us and how we handle this. And I do think it is important here as we finish this one up. You know, as we looked at, there's things we have to prepare for. We have to provide things honest. And again, that word provide means to premeditate, to plan ahead of time of what you're going to do, what goodness you're going to have before others in your response when evil is done unto you. And that within that response, you have to be peaceable as much as lies within you to live peaceably with all men. That's what needs to control and direct your actions. And where you take your faith in being done wrong, even though it hurts, is you have to give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you want Him to be the one that does it because He knows everything about the situation, everything that's mitigating, everything about it. He knows what's true. We have to trust Him with it. But then lastly here is the word, last P I give this is proper. What I mean by that is to do what is proper, to do good. To do good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See, here's the danger that comes in. You can get so easily when something is done wrong to you, you can allow that evil to overtake you. All right? You can allow that evil to overcome in the situation. I mean, we can bring this down to the family, to different arguments between a husband and wife, to work situations. We cannot allow the evil to overtake us. Do not allow the anger of a moment to take over. A temper can come into play. You can lose control. And all of a sudden, vengeance and revenge is taking place. You were hurt by words, so you respond with words that are well out of control and will hurt farther and deeper than what was done to you. Instead of being a plan in place and prepared to, nope, I got to go the way of peace with this. We are responsible to maintain our Christian principles and our Christian disposition. And as the instruction is given in verse 20, to actually do good to those who have wronged us. And there's power in that. Imagine, let's just try and make it as practical as we can. You come home and all of a sudden, let's just pick on the wives because they're always yelling at us for everything anyhow. You can laugh at that. It's okay. Everybody's like, yeah, half dead here, half asleep right now. All right? So you come home and it begins. Okay? It begins. But you're following the Christian principles. You're prepared. You have a plan in place. You're not going to respond in kind. You're going to go do the dishes. Just think when she wakes up from fainting, what that's going to do for the situation. Would that action of doing good be on the road towards peace? Yes, it would. Now, ladies, don't start a fight with your husband tomorrow, so he'll go do the dishes. That's called manipulation, and it's wrong. All right? That's not how that works. I'm just trying to give an illustration of having something in place where you can see how doing good can be on the road to peace and you trust God with the vengeance. You can go pray and you're done with the dishes. Lord, do something to her. Take your vengeance now. Let me see it. I'm just kidding. Don't pray that way. But that's true in your work situation. True in life. But too often, we get overcome of the evil that has happened and our emotions take over. And the plan goes out the window. So in other words, what it's telling us, when you have the plan, when you're going to prove, remember to keep those emotions in check and don't be overcome of evil. You get ready to do the good. You're going to overcome that by doing what is good, doing what is proper for the Christian to do. And, you know, I thought it came to my mind when I was preparing this the last couple of days. And I've told this story before, but it really does fit. It's a good illustration of it. We had the men from this church and from Southside Baptist in Tampa coming over to help me build the house. There was a ton of preparation for me to get permission from the government to do that. I was building on government leased land that I had. I had the lease, but I had to get permission from the government for the building of the house. And so they required me, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere, to jump through all these hoops. And I followed everything to the T. I was so excited. I am done. I got the last signature block. Everything was there. And it was December. The team arrives in January. This is my last time in the Capitol before the team even arrives. It begins 5 hours from me. I don't live right there. So this is my last time in the Capitol. So I go to the government office that handles this. And I have the whole packet done. It's complete. And all I need from them now is that signature and the permit to go ahead and build. So I drop it off there. And lady informed me that, yep, we'll get to this in June. And I knew that's because I was a Baptist missionary. I knew it. It wasn't a doubt in my mind. I'm like, oh, no, no. And so I figured I could plead my case. It wasn't working. It wasn't happening. She was short. Nope, we will have the board will meet in June. That's when we'll sign off this. And I said, listen, they've already got plane tickets. This team is coming here in January. And I said, I need this now. I mean, they're coming here in January to build. She goes, no, you cannot build. Well, we have the meeting in June. I said, nobody ever told. It didn't matter. And so it's just a tiny office. And I went down. There's a chair right here. And I was defeated. I was frustrated. And I just sat down there. I just sat down and wondering, what in the world am I going to do right now? I had to call these guys. Many of them wasted, you know, $2,500 on a ticket. And besides the fact, I got to get this house up, built. And while I was there, standing there, a guy came up there and was talking about their need for an aerial shot, a photograph of Nematanai, the place where I lived. And so I quickly ran over to, I'm in Cavian Town there, upstairs of one of the businesses, there's a little computer center, about five computers. And I got on the internet, I went to Google Earth, and I zoomed in, screenshotted it, and put it on a thumb drive, and printed it out, and went back, and I went back to that lady, and the guy was still there, and I said, I heard the conversation, you need an aerial photograph, and I started to say, I stopped myself. I had said, I was going to say, my own intent was, I will give this to you if you sign off on my thing. And so I said, nope. I said, that's not what I'm doing. I said, you can just have it. And then she smiled and said, can I have your packet? I said, yes. She took it, went in another office, came back with a signed permit for me to build right there. And I often wonder, I don't think it would have worked had I tried to use that as leverage. What I should have did was just that. Just do good. Here you go. You don't have to do anything. And I already gave it to them. They had it. We have to determine to do proper, to do good. And we trust God with the results. Listen, I thought about even, I'm not going to go there by way of, I'll just mention it by way of closing. And that is even what happened with Esther in the book of Esther. God's in control. And He knows what He's doing. We trust Him. We have a responsibility before God in how we respond to others, and we trust God with the vengeance side of the house. Don't take it into your own hands. With heads bowed and eyes closed.